Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Real Talk About Feminism podcast. This is episode 54. We have a really good one for you today. I feel like we say that every single episode, but I'm really excited about this one. We did something new, so you're going to have to wait and see, but it's something that we've never done before that is really going to add something to this episode, I feel like. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I hope that you guys enjoyed last week's episode. Hopefully you guys had a good laugh and it was just kind of lighthearted. I know some of the stories are a little bit hard to understand without me telling all the context, but if I told you all the context, it would be about 4 hours.
So, yeah, seriously, it would.
Hopefully you guys had a good time, and maybe you guys have tried out a new date idea that Ken suggested at the end.
Yeah, let us know if you did. Like, seriously, I'd love to know.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on with you?
Well, I am actually, by the time this gets released, I'll be in the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I will be on a 1 week camping trip with my best friend. So excited, honestly. It's going
to
be
so
fun.
You guys will have a really good time. We were talking about how it's nice to have different types of vacations. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun to have like a glam, expensive, luxe vacation,
like,
but
yeah,
then,
like beach,
yes,
yeah,
and like literally just like truly relaxing, indulging. But then it's also nice to have vacations where you are just out in nature, unplugged, mm-hmm. and you can really just reset. And I feel like that's what it's going to be for you.
Exactly. And I'm literally just going to be like, I'm not bringing my computer, I'm not working. It's technically my spring break, so I don't have school. It's in between semesters. I'm literally just unplugging.
Yeah, and you shouldn't bring your computer, because then you're gonna be like, well, I'll just check a few emails. Like, no, you should be unplugged. So I'm glad you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I'll try and post on the story so everyone can
please
see like what's going on.
I'm jealous because I've always wanted to go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Anyways,
that'll be
what's
really
up with
fun.
You?
I mean, not much. I feel like every week I'm just like, oh, you know, school and work and everything. Something that I've started doing recently that I'm obsessed with, and it's super simple, but I really like tea, like drinking hot tea at night, but I also really love ice drinks.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, I think I've talked about this too, like, I'm just not into coffee anymore as much. And so I started just filling up mason jars with water and putting a couple tea bags in there and then just letting them steep in the fridge overnight.
Oh.
And so I'll like prep like 4 jars with 4 different types of tea. And then instead of like taking coffee or chai in the morning, I'll just take tea, iced tea. Like, it's hydrating, it feels good. So that's something I've been doing.
That is so fun. I actually was over at your apartment the other day, and in the fridge I saw all the mason jars with the tea bags in them, and I was like, oh, I wonder what's up with that, you know. But that's so cool. That's a really good idea, because then it's ready and it's been steeping overnight, so it has
so much more flavor. Yeah, because I was like, oh, well, it's night, like I'll just make some iced tea, but I was like, it's not gonna steep enough, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just really haven't been into chai lately. And
we've both been feeling that way.
Yeah, we have. We went to Dutch today and got chais, and they were really good, but like something about like the homemade is just not hitting the same, which stinks, because chai is like our family drink, and we are so into drinks in general.
I think it maybe was just a little overdone.
Like with the ones I made?
No, like just chai in general for me.
Oh, yeah. Like we.
Every day.
Yes. Multiple times a day.
Yeah. Sometimes. And so I feel like for me, I'm just like, I've been really into lemonades and juices and just something else. And chai just feels heavy.
It feels heavy. And you know what? I think it feels like fall and coziness. And it's like it's spring and summer now.
Mm-hmm. That is it.
Uh-huh.
You cracked it, honestly.
Yeah. We've been trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
but
there we go.
Yeah. We also tried Olipop the other day.
Mm-hmm. It's like a prebiotic soda.
Soda. Yeah, and it has like 4 or 5 grams of sugar a can, which is really great for soda.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
So good. So we got 3 different flavors.
We
got 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not like the root beer one. I think it tasted too much like a health drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that. It was like too obvious. But I loved the grape one. It tasted exactly like grape soda, like grape Fanta.
Yeah, the grape one was really good. You also really liked the orange squeeze.
Okay, I was trying to figure out what that was.
Yeah, and that one was really good. It tasted like orange soda. We also tried strawberry vanilla, which I loved.
I don't think I really liked that one.
You didn't really like that one. You were like, just drink the whole can.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're just trying to figure out like where we're at with our drink situation now.
Yeah, I think you're right. More juices, more lemonades. That's just more summer.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Well, that'll be really exciting for you to go to the Grand Canyon. Please post pictures. Mm-hmm. Please.
I definitely will.
Yeah. The week after, so the day you get back, I'm leaving for Chicago as well.
Yeah, we're traveling.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I worked for spring break, and, you know, I, like, want a vacation.
Right.
And our sister has a volleyball tournament in Chicago, so I'm going to go. This will be really fun. I've never been there.
Yeah, we won't see each other for a while. Mm-mm.
Weird. Weird. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into it. Today's feminist highlight is Sophia Giroux. I hope I'm saying that right. She is from Puerto Rico. She is the first Victoria's Secret model with Down syndrome. And I feel like that's a really big step just in the world in general.
Yeah, totally.
Way more inclusive. And like Victoria's Secret is a brand that's not really known for being inclusive. Yeah. So I think that's really great. Sophia also owns her own brand called Alavet, which translates to I love it. And I looked at some of it. Yeah, it was cute. It was like bags, keychains, like just like really cute accessory stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the name. That's so cute.
I do too. I know.
It's so simple, but it's so cute.
Yeah.
Wow, I think that's awesome. She's really pretty and really cute.
Yeah, so. I know. I stalked her on Instagram for a good while.
Yeah, you guys will see her pictures on the Feminist Highlight on Wednesday on our story.
Yes.
But yeah, she's so cute. That's amazing. Good for her.
Yeah. Speaking of Instagram, our handle is at Real Talk About Feminism Pod. And like Haley said, we post the Feminist Highlights every single Wednesday on our stories. And we post several times throughout the week as well. So definitely go follow us to see, like, more about us and our lives and just, like, podcast stuff in general.
Yeah, that is where you want to go for the physical resource.
Definitely.
There's a lot of information on there.
Yeah, so. And, like, for the date episode, like, sometimes we'll post, like, pictures and videos for context.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the stories that I shared, like any pictures that relate or videos, we'll post those on the story.
Yeah.
And we have a story highlight for like pictures and videos from episodes. So
yeah,
you can actually know what we're talking about.
Yeah. I think like for the New York episode too, like I posted some pictures. So just go check us out there and follow along with us. We'd really love it.
Yeah.
Today's episode is all about beauty pageants.
This is a good one.
Yeah. It'll be really good. And I'm not that familiar with beauty pageants, honestly, because I feel like most people have the same kind of thoughts, like, oh, you're just judged on your appearance. Okay, great. Like, cool. But I mentioned we were doing something different for this episode. We actually reached out to a couple people that sent in some voice memos and audio clips. So I'll be incorporating those and we'll get to hear different perspectives from two ladies that actually compete. So I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, because we're not experts in this.
No, not at all.
We wanted to pull from people who actually experienced this and grew up in this world. And they're so nice. They gave us such great insights. And so we're really excited to include them. And we'll put all their information in the show notes so you guys can follow them on Insta.
If you're watching on YouTube, we are now joined by the dog, our dog. I don't know, I grew up with her, so I kind of consider
her
my dog still.
Bonnie, here she is right now with me.
Say hi, Bonnie. All right, anyway, so I mentioned before, like, a lot of people think about beauty pageants as being super degrading towards women, which there definitely are ways that they are.
And history,
yeah, which we'll get into, but there's actually a lot of ways in which they are empowering to women. According to Global Citizen, quote, for critics, beauty pageants are an outdated hangover of a patriarchal society that values women only for their beauty. For fans, pageants are a platform for showcasing women's empowerment, diversity, intelligence, and leadership. So I will link the article that this quote came from in the show notes. It was so great. I had so much great information. I literally wanted to read the whole thing on here, but I won't do that, of course. So go look at that for more information. But it mentioned in there how many women who participate in pageants actually use it as a platform to empower others and empower women in general.
I feel like this is kind of one of those situations where, you know how if something is a certain way for a long time, then everyone just assumes it's the same way.
Right.
You know, and like that's what everyone else is saying about that thing. So it's like we're all just going along and being like, beauty pageants are dumb. Beauty pageants are like not empowering. But when you actually look at it and analyze it and realize that it's changed, like, yeah, it used to be that way, but it's changed. And I feel like that's one of those situations.
I do too. And as we'll hear from our kind of guests,
yeah.
there's a lot of different types of pageants. So like some do focus mostly on like beauty and how you look and your body and everything. But there's many that are more focused on like your mind and what you contribute to society and
yeah.
different types of ones. An example of this is Zozibini Tunzi of South Africa, who is the longest reigning Miss Universe of all time.
Whoa.
Yeah. She was asked in 2019, what is the most important thing we should teach young girls today? And her answer to this question was, I think the most important thing we should be teaching young girls today is leadership. It's something that has been lacking in young girls and women for a very long time, not because we don't want to, but because of what society has labeled women to be. Mm. So she's, as it said, like, she's the longest reigning Miss Universe in all of history, and she is using her platform for good. Like, mm-hmm. she's trying to motivate and inspire women and young girls, and I think it's really great that someone with that big of a platform is using it for that purpose.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just to, like, gain Instagram followers mm-hmm. and whatever.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's a lot of work. Like, they yeah. do a lot of service and stuff, and, like, we'll get into that more. But it's a lot of work. So,
it's a lot.
You know, she's doing this, and she's trying to empower women, teach girls leadership. That's amazing.
Yeah. This clip that I'm going to play is going to introduce Caroline Wheeler, who was very gracious and sent in a ton of clips for us. So, here is her first clip.
Hi there, my name is Caroline Wheeler. I've been a part of the pageant world for the past 9 years, strictly mostly around National American Miss, which is one of the many pageant industries. But I've also been able to support and be there for my friends who have competed in Miss USA, whether that's the teen or Miss USA, and many other systems, IJM, UNM, all these other industries for pageants. I have, again, been around them for about 9 years, competing for about 5 of those. Was your 2019 Miss Colorado Teen for National American Miss. I am so excited and grateful for this opportunity to talk to you guys about pageants and how they are empowering and not demoting women, and how impactful they have been on me and why you should be empowered to do a pageant.
Thank you for introducing yourself, Caroline. We're so excited to hear more from you throughout the episode.
The first question we asked her was, how would you respond to someone who says pageants aren't empowering for women? And she started out by saying that when she tells people she does pageants, they say, like, oh, like, toddlers and tiaras? You know, like, which is mm-hmm. something I think of, too.
Yeah.
To that, she said, that can't be farther from what it is truly like to compete in pageants.
In the pageant industry, what it is actually about is building relationships, friendships that last a lifetime. For me, every pageant I have been in, whether that is a state competition or a national competition, has been all about empowerment. I have gone around personally and given out gifts to my fellow contestants. Nothing is more empowering than telling another woman, I believe in you, you deserve to win, and I love you for that. I am able to appreciate and love my competitors because they're not competition. They are sisters. So if you would like to say that it is not empowering, I would prove you wrong because you go ask anybody who has been in competitions and pageants, and they will say that there's not you will never meet a more empowering group and determined group as the women that are standing with them and beside them.
I love that.
I did too. Let me just take a minute to apologize for all the background noise. There was a lot going on at that time. Hopefully you can look past that. I feel like I'm making it a bigger deal than it is. But yeah, I really, really liked that too, because obviously something that she really enjoys about pageants is the connections mm-hmm. that she's made. And like connections that have gone on for years. Right. Like not just the week that they're there competing.
Mm-hmm. And that means they're obviously genuine. And you see, like, when they're competing, you know, like, the stereotypical moment when they're the top two are, like, holding hands, mm-hmm. about to be crowned. But then when the girl actually gets crowned, all of the women around are just, like, running towards them and congratulating them and, like, crying, hugging, screaming. Like, it's just so supportive. And that is empowerment.
For sure. Lifting each other up and mm-hmm. not tearing each other down. Yeah, I think it's really, really cool that, like, even though you want it so bad, like, this could be applied to a lot of things, but, like, obviously it's a lot of work mm-hmm. and it's disappointing if you don't win, but it's like you still learn a lot from it. You make right. really great friends and you can use all of that knowledge for the next competition.
Right.
We had Mora, Miss Colorado 2021, also send in some clips for us. And again, we're so grateful to you both. This really adds to the episode. And it was really fun, again, to hear, like, people's perspectives and thoughts yeah. who actually compete.
Yeah, especially our Colorado gals.
Yes, we yes, love we love that as well. So here is Mora's answer to how would you respond to someone who said pageants aren't empowering for women?
A lot of the messaging that says that pageants aren't empowering for women comes from this antiquated idea of what pageants used to be. So when we look at the history of the Miss America organization, it did start out very differently than it is now 100 years later. When it first was started, it was very much focused on, obviously, physical beauty, and a lot of the rules that were implemented were to find good wives, good housewives. And that those attitudes change, especially as attitudes around women in the workplace and just the ways that we view women in society in general also change. So in the beginning, it wasn't very empowering. I mean, they were literally measuring them, the distance between their knees and the length of their legs, the length of their neck, and that's not empowering. But as we've seen in the modern age, we aren't judged our physical. I keep getting cut off, but we're not judged by our physical appearance. And it was in the 1940s that the Miss America organization started offering scholarships to the women who competed. And it wasn't until the 50s that we saw the implementation permanently of talent, the scholarship ideas. And they also still competed in interview. But I'm Miss Colorado, so I'm partial to Colorado history. And our Miss America 1971 from Colorado, Rebecca King, was very famous at the time for saying that she thought that the interview portion of the competition should be scored. Because if you're going to dig into the intellect of these women, then why would you not judge them on it? And that was important to her because the reason she started competing was because she had scholarship money to pay for law school.
I love how she addressed that in the past, they weren't super empowering.
Right.
And I think that is important, but look at all the progress and look at how far we've come.
It's also very hard to differentiate between different systems because, again, I compete in Miss America and most of our score, the bulk of our score, comes from our speaking ability. And when you have a sea of women who, yes, are beautiful, but more importantly, are talented and accomplished and educated, the thing that sets them apart is their personality and who they are as a person. It wasn't until I was much older that I realize that it is very empowering to compete in the Miss America organization or in pageants in general, because our society at large devalues the things that we think are feminine. I mean, look at the way that we treat women in general, but also if we look at these ideas of toxic masculinity and all of, like, you can't have a career and have children because what is feminine is bad. And
to embrace your own identity and your own ideal of what is feminine is very empowering.
So many good things. And
especially that last line.
Yeah.
So good. To embrace your idea of feminine, that is so empowering. I love that.
I do too. And you mentioned before, which we'll get into more later, but beauty pageants have come a long way. Mm-hmm. And we still have ways to go, just like with a lot of issues. But there have been big steps made. And I feel like today, like Caroline was saying and how Maura was saying, like, it's not all based on your looks. Mm-mm. It's not at all. Like, there are different portions. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really cool that women are able to showcase their talents, mm-hmm, and their passions and their hobbies and things that they've worked hard on. That's not just like physical beauty.
And their intellect as well, because they have to answer questions.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more diverse than just looking good in a bikini and looking good in a gown.
Right. And I will just say to both Caroline and Maura, you both are extremely well-spoken.
Yes.
When we were listening to the clips when they were first coming in, we were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, very articulate.
Yeah. And that's a talent. Like, mm-hmm, public speaking is a talent.
Yeah. They're getting up there in front of so many people. Like, good for them. That is a talent.
We've talked a lot about how pageants are empowering to women, but obviously there are many ways still in which they aren't. And everyone is different. Like, I feel like what Caroline may feel is unempowering, Maura might feel the opposite, and mm-hmm, vice versa. You know, like, it just depends on the person, I feel like, and experiences that you've had in your life. But I feel like still today, pageants in general can promote unrealistic standards of beauty. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, like, there's a lot of makeup and hair and like hours spent getting ready.
Getting dressed up, looking your best, wearing a lot of makeup, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's also not a realistic standard of beauty.
Another point too, like, very much like in the media, like with some pageants, like, it's the same like blonde size zero type girl, you know? So,
and that's damaging.
Yeah.
Because that's not the only standard for beauty.
Right. Oh, I just thought of this. Like, if you are a young girl wanting to pursue pageants and competing in pageants, you might try and fit into that mold.
Right.
But like, the point should be to celebrate differences, mm-hmm, and what makes everybody unique and beautiful in their own way. So,
yeah, because beauty is diverse.
Yes. Let's hear Caroline's answer to this question.
I totally understand when people say that pageants aren't empowering, because people see it, and it is fairly true. You are judged on how you present yourself, how you look. Girls might feel pressure or anxiety in some ways. So I totally 100% understand what people say when they say, like, pageants aren't empowering. But I've never had an incident, especially with my fellow competitors, where they haven't been supportive. I've never had a girl come up to me and say, oh, well, I'm your competitor, so I'm not going to support you. It's like, yeah, you are my competitor, but like, I love you. I'm here for you. Let's do this together. However, I can see the flip side of, like, you are being judged for your looks. And that's scary. I know for me personally, I'm a fairly confident person in not just how I look, but also my personality. And there have been plenty of times where I have been like, so-and-so is better than me. Not just look-wise, but personality-wise. How do I even compare? And it's one of those where I have to sit back and be like, yo, I am a completely different person than so-and-so. And I cannot even compare myself to them because we are so different.
She also talks about in that clip how there are different branches of pageants, and the one she competes in, Miss America, is not so much focused on looks, like we were kind of talking about and how she touched on. Like, they have segments and presentations on hobbies. And she gave an example of a girl who competed and she did a science presentation during her portion.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Definitely, there's so many different talents. And when I am thinking of like talents at a pageant, I think of the talent show in Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and they're like doing magic tricks and like rollerblading around the stage. Like, that's what I'm thinking
of. Like in Parks and Rec when they're doing the beauty pageant episode and Trish is doing the baton. Yes. And Tom's like, my girl Trish is talented. Yeah. And Leslie's like, she's not even twirling the baton.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, it's so literally stereotypical in my mind. But that's awesome. Like, a talent show? Okay. Or
a talent show? Yeah, a science presentation.
Yeah. That's awesome.
She also said specifically about the Miss America pageant, which is a reason she loves it so much, is they're way more inclusive with looks and personalities. Like, they care more about who you are as a person, as opposed to like how long you spent getting ready.
Yeah.
And who has the best hairstylist, whatever. We asked both Caroline and Maura what their favorite part about competing in pageants was. Here is Caroline's answer.
Jeez. Okay. My favorite part about competing in pageants, there's so many. It can't even begin to tell you. I took a break from pageants over the past couple of years. Went to go support my friends back in November at the national competition. And more than anything, even just being there as a supporter, I missed the sisterhood. Walking around hearing all the girls laugh and talk with their newfound friends from across the country, across the world, is breathtakingly beautiful. I know I still am best friends with some of the girls that I competed against and competed with, and won titles with. I am still friends with them today. I think personally, like, having those friendships that will never go out because you can all bond over something is probably my favorite part. But on the flip side of that, if we're talking about actual competitions, again, I have competed in a pageant known as National American Miss. They only judge on four areas of competition, which is interview, personal introduction, your formal gown, and your community service. For me, I mean, who doesn't like dressing up in a sparkly dress or a beautiful dress and getting their makeup all nice and done? Like, of course I enjoy that. Like, that's so fun. But more than anything, too, if we're talking about the competition side, I love speaking and talking about my story. And I get to do that in interview and my personal introduction.
I misspoke. I said Miss America is the pageant Caroline competes in, but it's National American Miss. So I'm so sorry. I don't know all the lingo.
Yeah, I was, when she was talking about like all the laughs and all that, I was literally getting FOMO.
Literally.
From like her just talking.
Literally. Let's hear from Maura now.
But the thing that I love about competing and that I've always loved is that it's a chance to not only push yourself and work hard for something and learn to accept that just because you don't win doesn't mean you didn't do everything right. You know, it's a good learning experience, especially when we, you know, boomers talk about how, you know, we got participation trophies. And in the pageant world, they want everyone to feel empowered and confident, but at the same time, they want to admire your accomplishments. And so as a woman, for the first time, it was like I was being recognized for the things that I could do, the things that I was doing, instead of just the way that I looked or the way that people perceived me upon first meeting me.
That's a really great way to build confidence, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially because I like how she said that she felt like for once she wasn't being just judged off the way she looked. And that was in a pageant. So that's really powerful to show that things have changed a lot more. And if that's how she felt, then that's amazing. We also asked them what their least favorite or most challenging part of competing in pageants was. And this is what they said.
In terms of the most challenging part, I kind of hit on it already, of what, like, mentally challenging is comparison. You will kill yourself and you will fail. I know that sounds so harsh, but you will not only fail externally but internally if you compare yourself to others. I had such a hard time with this. At state competitions, I really didn't compare myself that often because I knew my capabilities at state And I was like, I got this. These girls are also my friends from previous years. Like, it's okay. I don't need to compare myself. I am me. But once I won the title of Miss Colorado Teen, I took it to a national level where I went to go compete for the national title. And I compared myself so much.
She talked about as well how she felt like she was, quote, a bigger size than many of the girls, especially when she went on to the national level, and how it made her so nervous. And so it really took a lot for her to say, I'm myself. Like, I'm amazing. And it doesn't matter what I look like. And I feel like just all girls can relate to this, but like just being in a big group of girls, you're going to compare yourself, you know, like everyone struggles with it and it's really difficult.
Right.
So I can only imagine like being in that environment where everybody's like putting their best face forward. Mm-hmm. That's got to be so hard.
Yeah, it is hard to get over those things. And I feel like it is hard when because we do all have our own insecurities. And so it's hard to get over those. But at the same time, nobody is thinking about your insecurities.
Right, right.
Like, all the things that you're thinking, everyone's, like, looking at me because my hair looks greasy today or I'm breaking out. Like, nobody actually recognizes those things and notices them except for us.
Here is Maura's answer.
The challenging thing about competing, especially after competing for, oh my gosh, coming up on 10 years, is that it took me a very long time to separate my self-worth from the validation that I received when I was competing. And I firmly believe the reason I won Miss Colorado when I did was because it was the first time I didn't feel like I was proving myself to them. I wasn't seeking validation. I wasn't walking into the interview room or walking on stage and saying, oh my God, please, I promise I'm great. Just give me a chance. Instead, it was like, well, I'm giving you a chance to know me. And if you think I'm right for the job, then I'll be Miss Colorado at the end of the night. And if you don't, then I won't be. That's okay, because my value as a human being is stagnant. And that does not change based on the way that I place or the way that you perceive me.
It's always when we fully let go that the best things happen, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because when she was just like, you know what, I'm doing this for me, it's an opportunity for you to get to know me, like, and then she was confident.
I love that. Like, I'm not here to prove myself to you. I'm here to just let you get to know me.
Right. I love that.
I do too. We also asked them if there was anything else they want to add. And a big thing for Caroline was she said, if you're thinking of competing in pageants, just do it.
Do it. Nike.
Just do it. Yeah. Swoosh. She said it's expensive, but it's so worth it. Here's more from her.
So if you are thinking about doing a pageant, just do it. If you want tips or tricks or have questions, text me, call me, message me. Like, leave a comment, get a hold of Mackenzie and just say, hey, I want to do this. How do I do this? Please, I will talk to you. I love to talk. So just do it.
She's not gatekeeping, and we love that.
No, yes, we love that. Here is what Maura would like to add as well.
And as a woman who has had to grapple with her identity in the way that she fits in, not only am I in a very male-dominated field because I'm in the Army, but I also have this other, you know, hyper-feminine aspect of myself that I embrace and that I love and that I want people to see and that I want to feel. But I had to kind of discuss with myself, I had to have serious conversation with myself, journaling, just thinking about it, about what it means to be a feminist and to compete in the Miss America organization or in pageants in general. And the overwhelming conclusion that I came to was that In a world, in a society where someone's always going to be angry for the choices that I make, the best thing that I can do is make a choice for myself.
She also added that she wants to work as an attorney and she wants to specialize specifically in LGBTQ+ civil rights defense, which I think is really amazing.
Yeah. I also just loved, again, her last line. Just really amazing. It's a really good point.
Because I talked about that as Miss Colorado, the ACLU actually reached out to me, and I'll be meeting with them shortly. And the scholarships that I've earned are going to be used to put towards law school, which is huge for.
She went on and said that she comes from a middle-class family, and so she's so happy that something she's so passionate about is going to allow her to go to college, but not only that, to help others. Let's change gears and talk about how pageants are not inclusive, because there is a very long history of pageants, and, you know, it kind of lines up with United States history.
So, like we already touched on, pageants used to be entirely based off of looks.
Entirely. Mm-hmm. They also, up until the past few decades, have been pretty racist and discriminatory against Black people and people of color in general. It actually wasn't until 1970 that a Black woman, Sheryl Brown, won a state competition in Iowa and then competed in a Miss America pageant. Just competed in a national pageant. Vanessa Williams was the first Black woman to be crowned Miss America in 1984. There have also been a lot of protests from feminist groups that spoke out about how oppressive pageants are, since women are based solely on their beauty. And viewership of, especially like the Miss America pageant and other like nationally televised ones, viewership has declined. And there's an article I found, we'll link it in the show notes, but it specifically points out that increases in protests are aligned with this. And according to the article, the Miss America pageant in 2015 amassed only 7.1 million viewers compared to 8.6 million just 1 year before in 2014. Miss America had previously broken viewership records during its first live broadcast in 1954 when 27 million viewers tuned in to watch.
1954, it's where TV is like readily available in everyone's homes at that point. I don't know when was the TV event?
Yeah, at least like black and white, like the big boxy ones.
Okay.
I think so.
Wow, that's a lot of viewers though.
I know, still.
Because like, that's like easier today because everything's so connected. But right, back then. Crazy.
Yeah, the main point is like viewership has gone down.
Yeah.
Drastically over the years. Yeah. We're going to close with a couple more clips from Maura.
Frustrate me about the pageant world in general, and I'm hoping to see some change from is this hyper feminine ideal that we have in it. I mean, there are actually male pageants now, which is great, but the typical, you know, quote unquote pageant girl that we thought of in days prior was obviously this hyper feminine ideal of beauty. And as we move more into your physical appearance, we have AFAB non-binary competitors in the Miss America organization now. I can think of one off the top of my head in Connecticut who also has tattoos. And I want to see more of that because I also, again, believe that, that is very empowering. The thing that frustrated me, and I'm kind of going out on a limb by saying this because I haven't come out publicly yet, is that I always felt like I had to fit a mold. And it's in recent years that I've been able to accept the fact that I'm a bisexual woman. I've known since I was in elementary school. And now some of that pressure is off, now that I don't have to worry about how I would be judged at Miss America or how I would be judged at my state competition. And that I don't agree with, but I think that that perception is also slowly changing. And I'm very excited for that day. But for now, I'm just thankful to continue supporting the women who compete and having an avenue through which I can express myself, gain speaking skills, meet people, learn more about myself, and again, just find a sense of confidence that doesn't come from how I compete, because I've won and I've lost a lot of times, but I know that I'm able to weather that, and that also is very empowering.
Thank you so much for sharing that piece of you with us, your true self. I'm really happy that you are able to be your authentic self. And I think it's really cool. And as you were speaking to the progress that's being made, that is a very big step.
Right. It totally is. And it is a big step for you to be able to feel comfortable with who you are, because everyone should feel comfortable. And I think that that's even more empowering to just be your authentic self, as Ken said.
Right. Well, thank you so much to both Caroline and Maura. Seriously, thank you so much. Like,
you guys made the episode.
Literally. Like, you guys were the stars of this episode, because I enjoyed getting to hear directly from you guys what it's like to compete. And I think it was a really great thing to explore many different aspects of pageants, like how they are empowering, how they're not, the history of pageants. And I definitely learned a lot.
Yeah, I did as well. I think it is really interesting to see how far they have come. It is important to recognize and not just put our blinders on and be like, oh, there's no inequality and there's none of this, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, like, it's important to recognize that they haven't been so great in the past, but they're improving. They're more inclusive. They're better. They're not as superficial. And it's really amazing to hear from two women who actually compete and held or are currently holding titles. And I just think that's amazing. So thank you guys for sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. And all of you guys who are listening, go to the show notes and you can find their Instagrams and go give them a follow, or even reach out to them for tips, especially Caroline, because she specifically offered. So, you know, slide into her DMs and ask her for some tips if you are looking to get involved in pageants.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And we will talk to you next week with a brand new episode.
Bye, everyone.